Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, I have to tell the truth. I get angry. Now, that wasn't always the case. I went through, I spent a lot of time and money in therapy working through codependent issues. And thanks to that and this teaching, I realized that I get angry. You know, we all get angry. People who meditate, people who pray, we all get angry. And it's okay. It's truly okay. You know, sometimes when we're on a spiritual path, we kind of think, okay, I really shouldn't be angry, right? I just need to send them some love, take a breath, right? We've all been there. And sending them love is great. But denying the fact that we're angry isn't okay. Because it's not authentic. And the one thing that this spiritual teaching has taught me, this philosophy, is that being authentic more often than not is what feeds one's soul. Much better than stuff and stuff. So the idea of anger is to recognize that just like all the other emotions, it's just energy. Everything is just energy, including our anger. So if we look at it as energy, then it becomes our responsibility not to suppress it, not to ignore it, not to let it explode, but to transform it into something that makes us closer to our true selves. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching, wrote, "Emotion uncontrolled produces chaos. Unexpressed, it produces confusion, conflict, and complexities, for energy will have an outlet." And that is so true. It is so true. You know, it's both sides. Uncontrolled anger can cause chaos. But denying anger can cause its own internal chaos. It carries its own internal conflict. It's not to be carried, it is to be understood and to be transformed into a greater expression of who we are. The thing about energy is that it needs a direction to it. A fire can destroy a home, but it can also warm a home, right? And the idea is to allow that fire to burn and illuminate and then take spiritual action. Like, what am I to do with that fire within me that this anger has generated? That's the question. Not the why do I feel angry or what do I do with it or any of those. It's like, how do I take this energy in the form of fire and transform it to a greater good for me, myself, and I? Because that's where it all starts. So today, I want to explore three spiritual practices. And I call them practices because they really, truly do take practice. Sorry, you've already got those up there. Okay. Be real enough to feel your anger. And that sounds so simple, but it's not so simple. Find the love underneath it, because there is always love underneath it. Because it's all love. And then we've got to give our love, our anger, something to do. So the first step is to tell the truth. To tell the truth that you are angry. There's a difference between saying, I'm angry and I'm an angry person. There's a big difference. But a lot of times we call our anger different things. We're disappointed, we're frustrated, we're concerned. Yes, we could be disappointed. I'm not really disappointed, I'm angry. And those words are so much more acceptable in society, right? They sound a little bit more spiritual, a little bit more balanced. Yeah, no. We can just authentically acknowledge what is without judging it, because we always jump into the judgment. Anger is bad. Anger, not bad, it's an emotion. Anger, left to its own devices with one's ego, and not so great. Not so great. But anger as an emotion that we're experiencing for a reason allows us to go a little deeper and to start observing the emotion. And when we observe the emotion, as Thich Nhat Hanh pointed out, when we observe that emotion, we give it space. And in that space, we can breathe. Instead of reacting, instead of judging or lashing out, we can breathe. And in that breath, we can identify it for what it is. It is just an emotion. And emotions, in this philosophy, are messengers. They're like a little wake-up call in and of themselves. They're like a little alarm saying, pay attention to this. Anger can be that inner alarm. It could be maybe that a boundary's been crossed, or that one of our values have been threatened. And it's important to know those things. Anger could be telling us that we're feeling ignored, or disrespected, or unheard. Anger can let us know that we're frightened, or that we're grieving something. Anger pretty much always tells us something has to change. Not someone, but something. And that is where that space between feeling the emotion and acknowledging the emotion, allows us time to spiritually bring some consciousness to it. And we can start asking ourselves some questions. Like, what is this anger trying to tell me? What am I afraid of losing? And what's maybe deeper underneath this anger? Because we need to name it before we aim it. Really, we do. Because who we want to lash out at, who we want to be upset with, angry with, probably isn't the right person, the right thing, or even the right topic. The question, I am angry because, goes far beyond just blaming somebody. It goes far beyond beating oneself up. It gets to that place of understanding why what I'm really feeling. I'm really feeling I'm not heard. I'm really feeling that something matters to me deeply and I'm not being respected for it. I feel powerless. Maybe I'm angry at myself because I've said yes when I really wanted to say no. Who has done that a few times? Okay. See, when we start to understand the greater truth behind the anger, then the anger becomes more of a guide and less of a direction. And that's what we want. We want our emotions to guide us, and we want our spiritual consciousness to direct us. Thich Nhat Hanh. We can transform our anger and anxiety and cultivate inner peace, basic understanding, and a compassion of action. And that's where the work is, figuring out what that anger is all about. Which takes me to the second spiritual principle practice, I think, is that to know that underneath all this anger, there is truly love. And it's about identifying what that love is. If I become angry because somebody's mistreated me, it's because I respect and love that person. I mean, you can mistreat me if I don't, and you're a total stranger, and, you know, I'm not taking it personal. But when it's somebody close, it's a personal thing. You know, I can become angry regarding injustice because I value fairness and I value dignity and I value the respect of others. We can become angry when we feel like our trust has been broken. And that truly is a part of love because we really love honesty. We want our relationships to matter to us as much as they matter to the other person. We can become angry at what's happening in the world because we sort of love mankind, right? We can be angry at things happening in the country because we have a love for our country. So it's not about what is my anger against. It's more about what is my anger trying to protect. What matters to me so deeply that this situation has awoken such a strong emotion in me? Those are the deeper questions. Because then we're moving from the emotion and the reaction towards a spiritual clarity, towards a greater understanding and a greater awareness of who and whose we are. And we start to become honest with our relationships, especially our relationship with ourselves. There was a powerful scene in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Anybody watch that program? I know I'm aging myself, and that's okay. But there was this episode where Will's father, he was pretty much largely absent from his life. And his father suddenly comes back into his life. And he is loving it. He is really finding himself, accepting his father, and thinking, this is going to be different. I'm going to have a dad in my life. This is great. And then, of course, his father leaves. He leaves as abruptly as he showed up. And now he's angry. He becomes tough, and he's dismissive, and he's mischievous. He's acting out in all of these ways. All of these ways. But then he really can't keep that anger level up, so it starts to crack a little bit on him. And so he's standing next to his Uncle Phil, who's been his rock, right? Uncle Phil was the rock, the person with the common sense. And he started talking about his father leaving again. And he started to recognize the fact that the deeper truth was he was angry because he couldn't understand why his father didn't want him, right? That was the moment. That was the moment of importance, right? Because that anger was not the deepest emotion. It was standing guard over that deeper emotion. And I think a lot of times we do that with our anger. We hide behind it. We use it as an excuse not to do this again or not to go there again or not to trust that person again. And maybe that's true, but maybe it's not. Maybe I'm furious really means I'm hurt. Maybe instead of saying, how dare you do that to me or say that, maybe what I'm really feeling is, how am I going to trust you again? And that trust is important. And a lot of times in anger we say, well, I just don't care. But in truth, what if we care a lot? And it's just too painful in this moment to experience it. An authentic moment is not pretending everything is fine. That's never the right thing. What is the right thing is acknowledging what is true. You don't need to wear it on your sleeve. You don't need to tell the world, right? You can keep it as quiet as you want. But acknowledging it to yourself, that's where it starts. To stop pretending and to start acknowledging. And I can tell you that was really hard for me. My therapist bought me one of those pool noodles, and she was like, okay, this week I want you to like beat a pillow with this pool noodle for 10 minutes every day. I was like, okay, this is so stupid. Oh, you guys, it felt so good. It felt so good. But it's true. We like stuff it, and we gotta let it go. We have to acknowledge that there's hurt, and there's grief, and there's disappointment, and we label it, and we don't address it. And addressing it is important. So we name it, and then we aim it as far as moving our feet. Anger says, I cannot stand this. I just can't stand for this. But conscious, spiritually conscious anger says, okay, what do I stand for? If not this, what do I stand for? Because that is where the secret sauce is. Which takes me to my third point. And that's when we have to give our anger something sacred to do. Because consciousness always needs action. I like to say love needs shoes. Right? You got to put it to work. This teaching, it teaches us all about love and peace and oneness and compassion and justice. And those are all really good things. But they're not really good things if we're just talking about them, reading about them, praying and meditating around them. It takes action. It takes moving our feet. And it takes an opportunity to be aware of what that action should be. Because that action should always be for the greater good. Always the greater good. Because it's all about doing no harm. If we're taking spiritual action, it is about no harm. Now, I'm not saying everybody around you is going to love the action you decide to take, you know, because if I create a boundary that I'm going to stick to, you know, it may not be so cool for other people who want to cross that boundary because they know how to push all those buttons. But I still can set a boundary for the greater good of me, myself, and I. And that's where it always comes back to in this teaching. It always comes back to the one thing that we can control. That is our thoughts, our words, our actions, and our deeds. Those are ours. That is our playground. And maybe it is important, I think it truly is important, to journal about it, talk about it with someone you can confide in, to pray about it, to meditate on it. All of those things are important. But so is taking some type of action. And maybe that action is truly as simple as setting a boundary. As simple as saying, I need to take some time to figure out how I feel about that. Maybe it's about volunteering. Maybe it's about recognizing that something needs to change and then making that change. Maybe it's about realizing that person really doesn't fit in my world right now. So, and maybe that story doesn't fit in my world right now. And that is all okay, because we get to make those choices for ourselves. And then we get to communicate it clearly. Really clearly. And ask that question, what is mine to do? What is mine to do? And in this crazy, crazy world, there seems like there's so much that is ours to do. But what really is ours to do, I believe, is to get to that place of seeing what we love underneath that anger. And then nurturing that. That is ours to do. When we take care of our house, so many more people want to come visit. Have you noticed that? I mean, you know, when we're really clear on who and whose we are, and we accept all parts of ourselves, we create a really welcoming, warm, loving home. And we attract back to us what that is. So it's not about punishing, not about a revenge, not about getting even, not about stuffing. It's about naming it, aiming it towards a greater good. Maybe it's volunteering. Maybe it's going to a meeting. Maybe it's supporting an organization. Maybe it's reaching out to a neighbor. One never knows what that may be until we ask that self within, what is mine to do? What action is mine to take? Instead of saying somebody ought to do something, I think Spirit would say, what is yours to do in this? And let me direct and guide. Not Spirit, but Spirit. Right? When I say love needs shoes, the soul needs something to do. Ernest Holmes offers this little spiritual test. Does the thing I wish to express more life, more happiness, more peace to myself, and at the same time harm no one? If it does, it is right. That's it. Intention rooted in healing rather than harming. Having clarity instead of seeking revenge, and wanting a greater expression of life versus deconstructing something is always for the greater good. So, is it true? I'm going to channel some Katie Byron right now. Those questions, right? Is it true? Or is it just my interpretation of reality? Is it mine to address? And is it loving? Not just nice, but is it loving? Is what I'm going to do next, this next action, this next response, these next words I'm going to speak, are they loving? Because when we come to the basis of our truth, that's what it's all about. So here's your invitation for today. When anger comes, be real enough to notice it, to feel it, to acknowledge it, even if just to yourself. Most importantly, just to yourself. And then seek the love underneath it. What am I protecting myself from? What is it that's driving this for me? Because it's something. And then give it something to do. Become part of the healing, both of yourself and of your greater good. This week, I invite all of us to ask some questions when that anger shows up. What am I feeling? What does this anger tell me I'm caring deeply about? And what is one courageous and compassionate thing for me to do? For me. Anger can be transformational when we allow it to have action. Action based on our own need. Because the world doesn't need more angry people right now. It really doesn't. The world needs more compassion. We can be more compassionate with ourselves and set that example. Anger can be spiritually educated to be felt from a place of love. To simply not complain, but to ask that question of how I can be part of the healing. Because Spirit is always in the middle of whatever it is that we are feeling, what we are doing, what we're saying, and what we're thinking.